Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limits off.
Your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
What's up, Chicago? Yes, 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 yes. It's about to go down, y'all. Come on,
get it. No limit!
Yes, sir, it's the hottest radio show in the land. Chicken Wings Off Radio is on the air. That's right, we are on the air broadcasting live. You heard me, broadcasting live from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, huh? Always, it's your boy. As always, it's your boy, your host, the one, the only, Dr. David L. King. I can't even get past that. In the studio with you today, I'm just excited to be here today, y'all. We got a great, great show for you today. It's going to be hot, hot, hot. Y'all ready for this? Four signs you're resisting the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
Huh? Let me get some volume on it. There you go. Four signs you are resisting the Holy Ghost. That's our topic of conversation. That's our main topic of conversation for tonight. But we're going to talk about that and so much more as always. But look, will y'all see who's already here with the brother today? The good pastor,
hey.
Hal D. Washington.
I'm trying to make my way down here.
Hal D. Washington. Are we freezing over there? Okay. Okay, maybe it's just on my screen then. Maybe my screen got a lot going on. All right, but the good pastor, Harold D. Washington, has joined us on today. And I am just excited as always that my brother is in the house with us today. Okay, she said it ain't freezing, so we ain't going to worry about it. Yeah, it's doing something, but yeah. We'll figure it out. But anyway, let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, it ain't frozen letter, right? If you're already listening, that's all that matters. If you're already listening if you already listen on the line, all you got to do is push one. That'll get you to my producer, the best producer in the land, the one, the only, the time, Michelle King, taking all of your calls, chats, emails, letters, and complaints. Drop them all over that way. If you want to call into the show, that number is 323-870-4375. That is the call-in number, 323-870-4375. That is the call-in number. One more time for the Holy Ghost, 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number. All you got to do is push one. That'll get you over to her. She'll get you over to us, and you'll be live on the air with the TTLO radio show. If you want to email the show, you can email the show. It's the TTLO show at ttlomedia.net. That's right. If you want to email the show, you can email the show. It's the TTLO show at ttlomedia.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. You can follow us on Twitter. You can tweet the show. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show, TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on the gram, that's right. Follow us on IG. Follow us on the gram. It's real simple, real easy to do. TTLO Radio. That's right. The same exact thing. TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. If you want to follow us on social, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then don't forget, the live streams are up and running. You can catch us right now on Facebook. Same thing, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And then we're live on the stream as well, on Ustream. That's right, we're live on Ustream as well. Come on in. Did I say Ustream? Live on YouTube. Lord have mercy. I ain't said Ustream in a minute. Wow, Ustream. I forgot about you. Still some good videos loaded up there, too. some good stuff is on Ustream. But you can find us on YouTube right now. Just do a search for the TTLO Radio Show. But in the meantime, in between time, don't forget we are an iHeartRadio partner, which means you can catch us on the iHeartRadio app. Just do a simple search for TTLO Media Group, and not only will you find the TTLO Radio Show, but every Tuesday you'll find Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. I'm sorry, every Thursday, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Real talk, real issues, real solutions. Every Thursday she'll be back with her brand new show for the first show of December, this Thursday, right? Yes, she should be back this Thursday. So I'm excited to hear what those new topics are going to be. But then you see the guy sitting to my right over here, the good brother has restarted the Kitchen Chronicles. That's right, Kitchen Chronicles are back.
Yes.
You can catch him every Tuesday somewhere around 7:15, 7:30. Somewhere around up in there. Just tune in.
Yeah.
7:15, 7:30. You can catch him on the Kitchen Chronicles then. And then don't forget on Sundays. Y'all know we start the week off on Sundays with the live simulcast, a live stream right here from the birthplace of gospel music, the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Every Sunday you can catch Pastor Darrell in person in the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church family. Broadcasting right here at 11 a.m. Always you can catch us there. But then my brother, same dude over here to my right, you can catch the Faith Works and Vision Church House.
Yes, sir.
The Faith Works and Vision Church House every Sunday. Watch this. Somewhere around 12:30, 12:45. Somewhere around up in there, you can catch them on the Faith Works and Vision Church.
Yes, sir.
Always a good praise party going on over there. I'm going to need you to take one little slide to your left. Just slide. That is. Bless your ministry. Get all of you in there.
Because
you see how you cut off.
I looked up
like
there.
You only got one shoulder. Shoulder lean. No. But yes, you can catch them all the time. And you can always find us on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Spotify. Anyway, you can download the podcast. You can find us there. Man, look here. Y'all know what to do. It's already while I'm talking to my brother, getting ready for the church check-in. The four-piece church check-in. What is it? What is it? It's the church that you went to.
Yeah.
Who preached? What was the sermon? And what was the scripture? That's the four-piece check-in. I can go for a four-piece right now, too. I promise you.
Yeah.
You know, extra spicy.
Extra,
extra biscuit.
Yes, sir.
A
nice little Popeye's joint.
Man, just fresh out the grease, though.
It got to be.
Not 10 minutes ago.
I don't want the up there under the light.
Right. Now, if you just put it there when I walked in, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, because it ain't lost its luster yet.
The salt has not lost its flavor, huh? I wish somebody would help the people. What's going on, Al?
Nothing much, man. We had a great service.
Did y'all?
Yeah.
Did y'all?
I'm teaching a series, the three T's of tithing.
Is that what's on the post that I saw?
Yeah.
Y'all be changing stuff up, man. Be confusing me. Hold on. Let me check.
It's the three T's of tithing.
Is that what it's called?
Time, talent, and tithe.
That's what I saw. Okay.
The three T's of tithing.
Mm-hmm. And how was service yesterday, man?
Service was good, man. And you know,
your boy sent me a friend request, man. I was proud that he friend requested me.
Who?
Chris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
that's my man.
I thought I must have made it to the big time.
Yeah, that's my man.
He sent me a friend request. I accepted real quick.
That's my man.
Because I'm going to try to get him over here to play something. He be busy, though. He be busy.
Man, I love Chris, man.
That is it. Yep, that is right there. Okay. Yep, three parts. Okay, time, talent, time. Got it. Yeah.
And this Sunday is the last part, which is the tithe. And I'm teaching... you know, we say tithe, but it's really just a form of giving. And we're actually going into the new year. I'm going to call it giving instead of tithing.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that's been a,
and you already know.
Yeah.
It's always a heavy subject.
I'm really, because I like to, I say no internet secure though. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I am really trying to, again, as I read and I study, I always try to, keep my knowledge current, right? And making sure that I'm still within the Word of God. And
right.
So, with all this, the reading I've been doing, let me say it like this for people who start, I do extensive teaching on tithing.
Say that again.
I do. I've done extensive teaching. Like when I teach on tithing, there's a book I pass out that's this thick.
Okay.
A workbook.
Okay.
That walks you through from beginning to end.
Okay.
Yeah, like from the first tithe to the second. Is something going on with this with the router or something? Because it's telling me good though, right?
But,
oh, you mean switch?
But we haven't stopped here,
though. It's never stopped on Facebook. Oh, well, because he got it up over here. So, I ain't going to trip. Okay, now it says connected and secure. That's weird. I was trying to do the switcher cast so you could pull up his thing. But anyway, there it is now. You should be able to grab it when you see it. I do an extensive teaching on it, but my thinking on it has expanded.
Okay.
On tithing.
Okay.
And so I don't want to say too much, but it's yeah, I'm feeling some kind of way. Not necessarily about tithing,
right,
but about the way it's being.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm teaching on tithing in the form of giving.
Yes.
And now that's why I say I'm going to stop using the word tithe
and
start using the form of giving.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you 100%. So yeah. I am just curious to, you know, but again, I like that though. How is it being received?
It's being received well.
Okay.
Because
I
started the first part talking about tithing with your time.
Okay.
Because if you don't tithe with time, you'll never understand God fully and his word and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So our time has to be given to God. And then he does what? He starts giving us revelation. He starts revealing things. The more time we spend, the more stuff he reveals. When you spend time with God, the second week I taught on submission. When you spend time with God, you learn how to submit to God. Those are who are in authority, and you learn how to submit in your marriage. You also learn how to submit to those in leadership as far as church ministry and when you go to work. You don't have to like the person. You don't even have to like their method, but you have to know how to surrender and submit to who's in authority.
Big facts. I like that. You good? Okay. So I'm trying to get my mind around it before I would make some adjustments to the lesson plan that I have already.
Okay. And when you do that, send it to me. So I can read and study on it.
I'll make sure you get it. I appreciate my brother Walter Jones.
Okay.
He's a preacher over up on the north side, and
okay.
I
heard the name.
Yeah, he came on the show once or twice, and I've been on with him. I haven't actually been on this show, but I always follow him. A couple of your listeners, a couple of your people. Veronica Maneri, okay, and some other ones. I see them on his live too.
Okay.
He does some amazing teaching on the subject as well.
Okay.
So I just want people to be live, because it's a dangerous thing to do, and I know we're not going to get it too far into it, but it's a dangerous thing to do to hold people to a standard of tithing and not teach financial responsibility.
And that's the back end of it.
Yeah, not he.
Yeah, that's the back end of it. That part with teaching financial responsibility.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to be doing a class on a Saturday, and I'm going to show the difference between giving to God, giving to yourself, and then maintaining your household.
Gotcha.
That's three different things.
Gotcha. That's
and
good.
You have to be able to do all three, because if you don't give to God, you're not giving to the source.
Mm.
If you don't give to yourself, you don't have anything extra.
Mm.
And what we end up doing is we end up not giving to God, not giving to ourselves, pay everything we owe, and then we start splurging.
Mm.
So when you ask a person what they got in the bank account and they savings in case they have a, you got to have a rainy day fund.
Mm. Come on.
Because the rain coming one day.
It's going to rain. You better come on in this house.
So you got to have some rainy day fun.
Yeah. That's good.
Absolutely.
That's good.
It'll be the last part this week I'm teaching on is giving.
Okay.
I just taught on the talent this week, and I used Matthew. I was in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, when you first read Matthew 25, it starts off with the 10 wives, the five foolish.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it goes from the five wives, the five wise, and the five foolish wives.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the disparity of those that think you can wait in order to get what you want, and then those who are prepared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into straight from there, it leaves right out of there, and it moves directly into the master leaving and knowing he's going to be gone for quite some time.
Yeah.
And he leaves one servant with five talents, leave the other servant with two talents, and he leave the last servant with one talent.
Yeah.
And then I showed them how if you look at the first two, he gave five and two, that was seven. He completed his job.
Yeah.
With the first two.
Yeah.
But the new beginning came when he gave the last one only one.
Come on.
And the one that had the one is the one that did nothing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
He went and buried it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to bury it just for you to say, well, master, I didn't mess over it.
I
he said it would have been better off if you have took it down there in the marketplace to put it to use.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you lost it, you put it to use, but you can't grow something. Because
you couldn't use it and neither could nobody else.
That's my whole point.
You help yourself or nobody
else.
Yeah. That's good. That's
so,
good.
Yeah.
I see we already got a church check-in already. We're looking for the four-piece check-in. Where is it at? Elect Lady Devery. DeBerry. Yeah, like I want to. I'm over here. Elect Lady DeBerry says, Faith Work Division International Ministries, Hal D. Washington, Pastor Matthew, he preached at Matthew 25, recognize your talent, two, use your talent, three, get elevated for using what he gave you. Grow your talent and grow in your talent. Now work your talent. Ooh, she took a whole lot of notes.
Because those I was hitting points.
Yeah.
Because if God gave you something, and this was the point I was trying to prove.
Mm-hmm.
If God decided I'm not going to leave you without.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
When Jesus left, he left the disciples. He said, I leave you a comforter.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't leave them lonely.
Mm.
So why would I leave and not have something for you guys to be able to do that you can do on your own and prosper from?
Come on, sir. Come on.
So God left something for all of us to be able to prosper in.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't leave us down here to be beggars.
Come on.
He didn't leave us down here to be borrowers.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want us to be broke. He didn't want us to sit around and suffer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want us to have to go to the marketplace to hold out our hands. He sent us here for us to plant.
Come
because
on.
The Bible said there would always be seed time and harvest.
Come on.
He sent us out here to plant so we have something to pluck up.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That works. Y'all, come on. I see about 13, 14 of y'all hanging around on here. Y'all can come on do the church check-in in case you don't know the church check-in is. Time. We need a church check-in banner or something. You know, some artwork.
All right. Okay. I like that.
Or Friday. Your mic ain't on? No, it ain't. Okay. But anyway, there it is. Huh?
You don't need it Friday. You have it Monday.
All right. I ain't going to do no church check-in Friday. Good point. So that's why I sit over here and talk. But, yeah, so, you know, church check-in. Four-piece check-in, y'all. It's real simple. I want to know what church you went to on Sunday. I want to know who preached on Sunday. I want to know what the sermon title was and what the scripture. The reason I do this is twofold. I want to know that you know, that y'all went to church or watched church.
Amen.
And then I want to know what type of church member you are, because you should be able to tell me.
And take notes.
Where you sat at and
come
who you
on.
Said and who preached and what they preached about.
Come on.
Other than he know he preached. That's my favorite line.
That's their favorite line.
Boy, he show preached. What he preached about? Ooh, he preached. The spirit was moving. What he preached about? Boy, you just don't know. Boy, the folk was happy. Can you tell me what he preached about? I want to be happy too.
Right.
Tell me something.
So I can be happy. You should be able to come out and relay what was preached to you.
Well, what was the scripture? He was somewhere in Matthew's.
With an S. But it's Matthew.
Right. He was in Matthew.
Like everybody say the Psalms.
Yeah, the Psalms. Yeah, I see.
And the Psalms.
See, I like the sound. Every now and then I like to. It depends on how I'm feeling. I want to sound real edumacated. I say, to turn with me, if you will, to the 121st division
of Psalms.
Of the Psalms. You know, sometimes just be like, turn to 121st Psalm, please.
Yeah.
You know, or as one child said one time, could you turn with me to the 23rd Psalm?
The Psalms.
23rd Psalm.
That's for those that don't know that the P is silent.
The Psalm.
Yeah.
It's the Psalm. I need some silence. I just want to make some letters silent in my name. Like, what's this? I'm gonna spell my name with like PH in front of it.
Well, I mean that's no different than
and just tell the PH is silent.
Yeah.
How you pronounce that, Dana?
Yeah.
but it's not this PH.
That was like Django say the D is silent.
Right, it was a D.
It was in a D in front of the J.
The Django.
Yeah.
Right.
The Django. He said no. He said no. The D is silent. He said I knew that. I wanted to know if you knew that.
I can't watch Django too, but I get mad watching Django.
Man, do you say that? When I say this,
that's funny.
When I say it is one of my classics. It's I gotta watch at least once a month.
Especially the girl asking you want to dress like that?
Yeah.
And then when
no,
do we treat him like regular white folks or regular? No.
So treat them like white folks, Daddy.
That whole conversation.
No, I didn't say that.
Right. That is, all that is funny. And then,
what's that little boy name that come around here that got the impediment?
Right.
Treat them like that.
Right.
Lord.
Yeah, all
I can't
of that.
Okay, with y'all. I can't.
Is that funny?
Man, that's one of my favorites.
Now, Rosewood will make you go shoot some people.
No, yeah.
Rosewood
Django,
is on a whole nother level.
Whole nother
but Django makes
yeah,
you
Rosewood.
Just laugh.
I remember. Y'all can still do the church check-in while we talking. I literally remember watching Rosewood.
The first time.
It wasn't. I didn't go to the movie theater to see it.
The first, no, I didn't either. The first time I seen it on cable.
HBO or something,
yeah.
Whatever channel it was
yes.
on. And it happened to be on.
Late at night, and
no,
I woke up.
I used to work second shift, so I had to be working till 1 o'clock.
Okay.
For some reason, it was on while I was getting dressed.
Okay.
So I'm watching this and about to go to work with a room full of white folks.
Yeah, I know you felt some type of way.
Boy,
yes, he did.
Let me tell you something.
You know, I know he feels that
Let
way.
Me tell you right now, I just wanted somebody to bump into me by mistake. I was walking wide, just my arm back, just graze me so I can say something. I was, whoo, you talking about, boy.
Hey, listen,
boy, look
the
here.
First time I seen that was in the middle of the night.
How'd you get out? He was like, I was in the casket with my mom. That just took
that,
me, that took me right on up out of there. Like, what?
But that showed me, after watching that, I had a different respect for Bing Rhames.
Yeah.
Because he was the soldier that was trying not to have trouble.
Yeah, he tried to avoid it.
But he couldn't avoid it, especially
mm-hmm.
when he seen what was going on.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, I'm back from war. I don't want to do this. And nah.
What about the old man, the old white man that was sleeping with the sister?
Oh, yeah.
Angelina Jolie's daddy.
Yeah.
What's the man's name?
John Voight. Yeah.
And they was on the train and they
yeah.
were shooting. He was like, you shooting white folks? He said, I know.
You doggone right.
He was like, what? He said, wait a minute. Now hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out why they haven't did a movie yet on Tulsa, the Black Wall Street.
You know, the closest...
It's to the show that got canceled.
But they didn't do a movie.
No,
like
I'm
they
saying,
did,
but the
I'm
closest
saying.
Thing to it was mm-hmm. that joint that Regina King was in on HBO.
No, the other one, too.
Which one?
Lovecraft.
Lovecraft Country was about Tulsa? Tulsa was in that. Right, you're
yeah,
right.
It was a
yeah,
a little bit.
But then,
I didn't watch
Lovecraft
because
Country.
I thought it was garbage.
Yeah, you got to, yeah,
it,
you should,
it
was, it's, yeah.
It was based off a book, and then they have the... Right in there, they do some of our history
they,
in there.
Yeah, they, it was
a little bit of the Tulsa.
They went back through travel. They didn't travel through time, but they went back. Everything
in
that
time.
They were doing, everything they were doing presently is because of something that happened
in
history.
Past.
So they had to, touch on Tulsa. But the other show, the movie that they remade from, what was the movie with the dude with the mask on? It was like a superhero movie, a comic book. It was real dark. What's the guy's name? Zack Snyder did the movie. With my man from Walking Dead and Regina King was in it. It was HBO. It was like a redo. I cannot think of. Somebody help me out. Y'all, I'm waiting for somebody to put it in the chat. What was the name of that doggone? It was not comic book, man. It was something about, it was like based off of comic books with the smiling face, with the blood, with the tear drop on it.
No, you're talking about the HBO special and the face thing would change.
That
when
guy,
when he,
Rorschach, that did that.
Okay.
But the movie, right, but they redid it as a series
right.
on HBO. Watchmen. Thank you, Crystal
right.
Love, whoever that is.
Exactly.
Right.
That's my cousin.
Okay. Watchmen. So they redid it. That whole story, her backstory came from her grandfather being run out of business in Oklahoma.
But I used to watch that. I did not know that that's what that
part
that's
of it was. Her backstory dealt with the Oklahoma Tulsa burn. Yeah.
Because you have two, well, you have one, I mean, they talk about Tulsa as the Black Wall Street, but you had two other counties in,
mm-hmm.
you know, in
Oklahoma.
They got ransacked. And they talked about them on Good Morning America one day.
Mm-hmm.
Good
Morning. Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm somewhat of a history buff when it comes down to that from being
mm-hmm.
incarcerated.
Yeah,
but Tulsa was like the Mecca.
Yeah.
Because
it wasn't the first, though.
No.
Burn.
No. But it was like the Mecca. It was almost a mile stretch, and you would have 2-3 barbershops on the same block, and they would all be packed.
Yeah.
You would have 2-3 beauty salons and saloons and all of this, and all of them would be packed because it was all of our people that was constantly there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to leave out of their own place to go get the need. They're good.
Everything was on the
everything
block.
Was on the
everything
block.
Everything was in that 1 mile radius.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything was in that 1 mile radius. So.
And now we don't own nothing in the hood.
No, very few things, if any.
Corner store owned by the Arabs.
Yeah.
The restaurant's owned by the Chinese.
Or the Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be
they got the beauty supplies now, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
And some of the beauty shops.
Asians got all the nail shops.
But after fried every black girl woman's hair on the fly real quick.
It took y'all edges.
Yeah. took their edges.
And got up out of there.
Yeah, took their curl pattern.
Right.
And now they made.
The only thing we got is the only thing that's on black owned is the braid shops. Them
ain't black owned either.
Africans ain't got the
same.
They're not going to give us that.
I'm just saying they black. They black.
And I try to tell. I try to explain to some of our women of color that the sisters from the East, they don't respect American women.
No,
because they say American women don't value. I heard this from somebody that's actually, of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
They don't value the family. They don't value the husband.
Wow.
They put all their morals down.
Mm.
And I heard the same thing from a Spanish lady.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between people that's raised in Mexico
mm-hmm.
and people that's raised in America.
Mm.
It's two different sets of values.
Mm. Wow. I see the church check-in. Let me go back to the church check-in real quick. Felicia checked in. She said she was at the virtual women's group. Speaker was Emily Johnson. Sermon topic was Poolside Missionary Baptist Church. Text was John 5:7-9 and Isaiah 53:4-5. Let me see what that is. John 5. Because I knew what yours was. Let me see what this is. John 5:7-9. Oh, wait. This 5:7. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming,
I knew that part.
Another step is down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath.
It was Isaiah 53. Yeah, that's the one that I'm trying to remember.
4 and 5. Let's see what that is. Isaiah 53:4-5 says. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded.
Okay, our
transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes,
we
are healed. And what was it? Okay, so she said, what was it? Let me go back and read this again. Poolside Missionary Baptist Church. Okay.
Because he was always by the pool.
I got you.
But not in the pool.
I got you. Poolside. Missionary Baptist. That's a little slick. I like that. That's
that Juniper, huh?
That's that Juniper Missionary Baptist. Juniper Tree. Y'all going to be mad when I start that church for real. Juniper Tree.
But what scripture are you coming from for your,
Juniper Tree?
Yeah, your motto.
I don't know. I got to look it up in the Bible.
Yeah, I've seen that, though.
I've seen it. It's in there.
Oh, okay.
I read that.
It's in there.
But no, this is Dana's fictitious church.
It's my fictitious church, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It ain't a real church.
You're online.
It's the church I said I'm going to just start.
Okay, online.
Yeah, because it's the one that's got all, when I'm talking about a messy church, so you have to say no real name, just say Juniper Tree. That's the person he want to visit. He want to come. I need to come see this Juniper Tree.
He want to know about who Satchmo was in there last night.
Who was on there last night? Satchmo was on there last night. Oh, God. Real quick. Let me do this real quick. Tanya, grab my. You still got access to my screen, right? You should. It's still down there.
Yep, I do.
All right, grab that. So, hey, y'all, yesterday, in case y'all didn't know, I put this young man on blast yesterday. I called him young because he's two of me. I said, why is it two of you? Because he 102.
Woo!
Yeah, Deacon James Smith made 102.
Good.
And yeah, got all his faculties. and got a grip too, because I told myself I need to shake the hand of somebody, honey, too.
Right.
This might not ever happen again. And I said, okay, let my hand go, Deacon. Squeeze kind of hard now. Slow down. I was just trying to, you know, get it for posterity shake. You trying to make a point.
Yeah, he's trying to squeeze you real well, right. Let you know, I ain't lost it.
Right. But this young man, 102 years old, Deacon James Smith, we celebrated him yesterday here.
102. Jesus.
Right. That's two of me, man. I'm 51.
I hope I get that.
I don't want to be, look here, everybody know my, I tell people all the time, thank you, Tony. I tell people all the time, if the Lord allows me, and I know y'all going to laugh at me, but if I get to 75, right, and I can still spell my name and wipe my own behind, that's a blessing. I just don't care. Y'all just don't understand. Because I know a whole lot of folks that done got to 70 and struggling.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If I can get to 75 and I can spell my name, I write my name. If I can spell my name.
You just want to be able to spell it. Like,
Period.
Or typing it.
Period.
Which way you coming with it, though?
I don't care about the driving part, because at 75, I don't know if you really supposed to be out there driving like that.
Well, Rev Maz drove till he was 90-something. They had to tell
Deacon,
him, yeah.
Deacon Taylor will be, he turned, I think he said 99 next week.
Golly, I want to see some of it. It's where they drinking from. I need to drink from the same
fountain. I told him yesterday. I said I need to go down there and just rub some on me. Just
anywhere.
You know what I have to do? That's what I need to do. I'm gonna fill up the baptismal pool. We just gonna take a dive in.
Hey, that's one of my favorites too. That's another one of my. I love one and two.
Wilfred Brimley.
You know what's gonna work?
Yeah.
I think we should just run the water in the pool, dog.
Let's try it.
And be like that little shorty who couldn't wait to be baptized on that video.
Drop yourself down in there.
I can't wait.
Drop yourself in.
I'm just going to dive in there. Hey, go fill up the pool. Where right here.
So you want us to fill up the pool?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to dip. I think that might, that might guarantee me 50 more years.
Hey.
They got hot water in there because I like it.
Really?
I like it cold. We doing our baptism like
she's trying to find us. It ain't that type of pool.
Okay,
no jet sending last time.
All right.
No jet sending. That's a straight stone pool.
It's better than some other pools that we didn't see now.
What the
green one.
The kingdom pool had jets in it though.
It did?
Yeah. I like don't know who installed that thing.
Like a jacuzzi?
Yeah.
I don't want nothing that's coming out of there.
But man. We said my mother-in-law can walk and run, outwalk and run me. I call my husband, pick me up. She credits know me. Oh, she want to know me, people. Wait a minute. And then they had her tell me Deacon Smith made like 2-3 cakes for Thanksgiving.
He's still cooking?
They say the man makes the bomb pound cakes. I said, how I been on here all these years? Ain't nobody told me nothing.
About the pound cake.
Nothing about the pound cake.
Over there.
That's what I was
saying. I didn't have no food.
I said, "What y'all mean he making like cook?" And he said, "Yeah, from the scratch."
Hey, yeah, I need
Duncan in the Hines.
Yeah.
Not the Duncan in the Hines.
Yeah, he's straight from straight
Not
flour.
The Betty Crocker.
Yeah, he's straight flour.
Swan style.
Yeah, hey, boy, that everybody don't know about that swan.
That swan style. Because if you making your cake with anything else, I want to know. What you making it with? Just regular flour?
You know Jiffy came out with a cake mix.
Stop playing.
I'm not playing.
You talking about the Jiffy Mix cornbread thing?
Now, you know what I need? I need to make me some Jiffy cornbread and some chili and pour the chili right on top of the cornbread
with
some cheddar cheese.
So, Dana, when you going to make some chili?
So, my mom, you know, that's a good question. My mom used to do the, make the corn cakes. Not the corn cakes. She had the cornbread, the cornbread sticks. She had that cast iron metal pan, and it was a long, so you pour it in the long slot, and you end up with like a cornbread stick.
Okay.
Yeah, and for the dip in the chili. So you have a bowl of chili with the cornbread just sticking. She just drop it in there, and a scoop of sour cream in the middle. And
I'm gonna have to.
Oh, come through New Year's Eve.
I don't even know if she knows what that. First of all, Veronica say Jiffy ain't cornbread.
I don't know why it ain't. It's the best cornbread to me. It's cornmeal in it. It's cornmeal in it.
Look here, Jiffy Mix used to be. Hey, look, Jiffy,
it still is the bomb. Put some butter right on top of it when you're done, and go right on to heaven.
Wait a minute, she said. She says, I get put out if I make Jiffy in my house. My husband's straight from the South.
Yeah, I don't like the South version. I like the Jiffy.
So you don't like regular cornbread?
No, my
I need an Aspire, thank you.
Yeah, my back in the day, my daughter's mom cooked from scratch.
You want one of them?
Yeah, please. She cooked that from scratch. It didn't have no flavor. Just tasted like cornmeal. I can't stand that cornmeal taste.
Oh, wow.
It ain't like a Jiffy. See, Jiffy got, you know,
it's
the sweetness
close with the cake.
Man, look
here. Like, it almost tastes like cake.
Went to L.A. on Sunset Boulevard, right down before you get ready to get into Wilshire Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Right before you get down by the RCA in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this restaurant. It's like a Creole restaurant on the right-hand side.
Uh-huh.
Their cornbread has jalapenos and corn in the cornbread. When I say that's the best.
We went someplace like that. What y'all got that good cornbread? Is it the place that we ain't been back to? Because I saw too many
Red
cousins
Stone.
In there. Redstone.
Yeah, Redstone got a bomb over there too. They got some muscles.
He said too many of us is there.
It's too many.
Now it is.
Yeah. We went.
But I heard we got put out though.
That's what I heard too. I heard they thought.
I heard they come back again.
I heard they. Didn't they say they thought? Was it they charging something?
No, that's the other restaurant that's charging $100 per person.
Yeah, to keep.
Oh no, you're talking about. Steak 48, you got to spend at least $100.
Yeah,
per person. It ain't per table.
No. You got to spend at least $100.
That's crazy.
Let me tell you why they did that.
I know why they did it.
Because you get all these people,
mm-hmm.
they got $1,000 purse, and they got a beer expense. And they come down there and sit down there at them places to make all that noise. And you got people in there spending real money that's trying to enjoy the evening on the mm-hmm. date and so forth and so on.
Y'all
down here keeping up ruckus.
I get it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like it either.
I don't.
That's why I don't go nowhere in the city. I go way out.
Hold on. Felicia said, Jiffy mixed with Rotel, diced tomatoes, cream corn, and cheese is the bomb. What? Hold on. Rotel,
okay,
diced tomatoes.
Okay, I see you.
That might have the Holy Ghost in it.
Right.
That sounds like that.
She's speaking my name.
Rotel, diced tomatoes, cream corn,
so that's how cheese. That's how you
She
put it all in the Jiffy.
I'm making some cornbread and some chili this week. I don't know what day, but y'all been had me in the kitchen cooking.
It's like ladies say Jiffy all the way.
Ain't no question about
it. Veronica's going to say ignorance and foolery. She's one of the people at the restaurant.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I can't deal.
Yeah,
y'all
y'all down there ordering burgers and fries. What you come down there for?
I can't deal. Yeah.
You in there? We'll see people in there and like.
Then order them with the appetizer and got all this water.
And then be in there for 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes.
An hour.
We
sitting around.
We still in there. We done made
well,
it home. We made it home.
We don't know how to leave a restaurant.
We don't.
That's the problem.
My thing is. You ain't got to leave as long as you study spinning.
Oh, yeah, we don't have that problem either.
That's what I'm saying. Because one thing about me, as soon as I get there, let me get a salad, ranch dressing, white vinaigrette. I want me an entree. I want me an appetizer. Bring me an appetizer, whatever the good stuff on the menu.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm still going to order my entree.
Right.
You know, you got to have four courses. What's the dessert menu? Bring that out here.
Sound like somebody I know.
I'm just saying.
You trying to be funny?
And don't let it be real good.
Dessert is not always food.
Right.
Yeah, but don't let it be real good because now you be like, hey, I need another one of them to go. Because I'm an oven man.
You sound real familiar.
He's speaking from Fatalations chapter 2.
what book again?
Fatalations.
Fatalations.
Hey, you know, when you get some good food, you ain't going to just eat what's there.
Hold on,
you
hold
make
on.
Sure you get that to go.
Say it one more time. What book is it?
Fatalation.
Fatalation. That's somewhere in between Revelation. Yeah.
Is Fatalation before or after?
It's before Revelation.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. Because it's before the reveal.
Before we, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm done. I'm done. Anyway, it was something else. Let me see. Who's that?
She says she go to Perry's once a month. I go over to Perry's, but Perry's is cool. They let because you got a lot of people in Perry's.
That was my first time we went. That was our first time.
The one in Oak Brook, right?
Yeah. We went
I was just over there yesterday.
We went.
TTLO third anniversary.
Huh?
Yeah, that's why we went.
To Perry's?
When did
No, no. We
when
went
we go to
we went to Wishbone.
I eat that all the time. It's by my house.
You go Wishbone.
Not Wishbone. That's not what I'm talking about. What's the name?
I mean, Bonefish. That's what I eat.
Not that place. What's the other?
What's the other restaurant's bad?
What's then? The little out there where everybody go out there in Oak Brook? Wildfire. That's what we
That's
where
I was at last night.
Okay.
You go through what's name? The Perry's.
Right. But that's we went to Wildfire.
Yeah. Okay.
Perry's, we just went to for the first time.
Oh,
a
yeah,
few
we
weeks
did.
Back.
Yeah,
I ate at Perry's a couple times.
Yeah, I loved it. Because
yeah,
they're doing some remodeling.
The only thing I don't like about Perry's is I don't want to pay $38 for a piece of salmon that's only this big.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's our phone.
Okay.
It ain't mine.
No, I know it ain't you. Because I if it vibrate over here, these don't make no noise. That's that microphone. We good. I'm just checking. Okay. All right. So, yeah, man. Perry's is great. She going to type it up there. Fatalation. Yeah.
Veronica say fatalation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. There's a chapter for appetizers.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
A chapter. Hey.
I got to have a salad to start me off every meal. I need to put that in first.
Yep.
Chicago police arrest a boy 11 years old, a prolific carjacker. He 11.
Oh, I can believe it.
He's prolific.
I believe it.
But just like Yummy was, prolific.
Do you know the majority of the guys that's doing a carjacking?
They're all teenagers.
Is between 11 and 15?
Yeah. Because you don't suspect them walking up here to your car.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't need no commercial.
It went straight to it, didn't it?
No commercial. What in the world is that? It says Chicago Police Superintendent Brown explained that an 11-year-old boy is now in custody for Chicago carjacking earlier this month, calling it a sad state of affairs. Unfortunately, this 11-year-old, this could be one of my doggone students. They can't give his name. Unfortunately, this 11-year-old has been arrested before and is considered a prolific carjacker in our city.
Is that him right there? Come on, play the video.
No, he can't.
No, they can't put him up.
No, this is somebody that was shot and killed. This is somebody else. The 11-year-old is now charged with one felony count of aggravated vehicular hijacking with a firearm. Took place on Sunday, November 14th in the parking lot of Jewel Oscar on the 4700 block of North Cumberland. Police say,
that's where I be at.
Said the I-team victim was a Chicago police sergeant's wife who was robbed at gunpoint. The stolen vehicle, a 2021 BMW SUV, was located several hours later on the city's south side. The 11-year-old seems to be driving these carjackings. Chicago Police Detective Brennan said, so he's not just there, I guess, along for the ride with other individuals. Wow. I'm going to meet with the juvenile judges here relatively soon to address the issue. Lightfoot said, you know what? I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. And, you know, you can comment. That's all good. I really want to know what school, if any?
If he even go.
Does he go to?
Right.
What school, if any, does he go to?
What?
And then I want to know the relationship he has with the teachers. Because I would love to know how many teachers been patting him up on his back and just saying, you know, letting him just do whatever he want to do.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, she said, what exactly is the carjacking for?
He's just driving.
It ain't chop shopping.
No, he joyriding.
Yeah.
And this is the whole thing. I guarantee you he was over north and needed a ride home and decided to carjack. Because they caught the car outside.
Yeah. That's what most of them end up doing.
Because ain't nobody out west going out south. Unless you live out there.
I don't even get it. I don't even get it. It's
bad.
It was so many state police. What day was that on the expressway?
Was that Saturday or Friday?
No, it was like 2 weeks ago.
It was like
about?
2 weeks coming back from.
No, I'm talking about this was just this week.
Oh, I can believe. Oh, yeah. But it's like they've been out. Like extra now.
Oh,
because
yeah,
that's everywhere.
You was talking because he's like, they ain't looking for no speeders.
They ain't looking for speeders. They looking for shooters.
That's every night.
Yeah, they looking for shooters now.
Let me tell you where they sit at now. They sit 71st, 79th, 83rd, 87th, and right before you get to 95th.
But they have to sit on the Eisenhower, too, because the Eisenhower is.
But they not as much out west as they are out south.
But they travel in twos. We seen them one time come. Two in the car.
Normally, right. You know, normally state police
were
by themselves.
And
they
were
two in the car now.
That's how they was on the expressway.
But two cars.
Yeah.
But two cars.
Two on each
exit. And then it's two trucks. Like, they are, what is that? Like a parade route.
But look what they did downtown. No. I'm talking about this just happened Saturday.
Oh, okay.
They shut downtown down, all Michigan Ave.
Wow.
Right?
Because they was breaking into the stuff,
no,
right?
They never broke in.
No, that's why they shut it down.
That's why they shut it down.
To prevent it.
They brought these new trucks out that sit in the middle and it looked like an SUV. Mm. And then if you look at the top, it's this thing that sit over like this.
Uh-huh.
And then there's cameras on both sides, so it sees traffic coming both ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And guess where the shooting happened at?
Where?
Four blocks over, because everybody was over here.
Of course.
What's the state people? Gibson's.
Wow.
Exactly.
I don't like Gibson's.
You don't like Gibson's?
Because, I mean, well, we
Gibson's
didn't like,
is too high for the quality of
like
food.
We didn't like the service at the Rosemont one.
We didn't?
At...
That was Harry Carey's at Rosemont that we liked.
No, we like Harry Carey.
Yeah, I said that was Harry Carey's. We liked at the Rosemont because we had Christian, old dude.
But the Gibson's we went to one time at night, we did not like the service.
No, we didn't like the service.
I'm not big on Gibson's food. I don't like Gibson's food. It's not no big thing to me. Surf and Turf, me and my guys went. Mm-hmm. My guy said, oh, yeah, Surf and Turf for the whole thing. I was like, bro, I don't eat steak like that. I'm cool with the lobster tail. So the Surf and Turf comes to the table.
I take his surf, please. Put his turf on my plate.
But the serving turf was $170 a plate.
Mm.
The size of a la carte.
When you go to them big, yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I want a mashed potato. What you want? Yeah, give him two sides. And then when that bill came, brother was like, hey, this wasn't worth that. He started spitting on the plate. Bill came like
$1,600.
Mm. I don't want to be there.
How many of y'all was?
It was only maybe 7 or 8 of us.
Oh, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. 8 of y'all?
Might have been 6 of us.
Oh, no, that sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
You got to remember.
Well, yeah.
If you're doing 75 for surf and turf,
six people,
without 200, two sides.
6 people, $200
a
piece.
And they added
2 times 6 is 12. So, and that's just food. We talk about, anybody have beverages?
They did. I drink water.
I know you didn't, but shoot. You throw in 2 beverages
it's a
wrap. Piece. That's $30.
Because Weber said they was going to add gratuity if our party was 5 or more. I was like, I counted us again. That's 4 of us.
Yeah, they do it on 5.
We went to Weber yesterday.
I, you know what I don't like about Weber?
It was, let me tell you, first time I had been in over almost 20 years.
I haven't been in almost 10. I wasn't impressed the first time.
You know what it was? To me, back in the day, I think it was a novelty restaurant.
Because of the grill.
Because I'm impressed by the fact that everything is cooked on the grill.
Yeah.
Like, even they do the desserts on the grill.
Okay.
Yeah, like, they got, you know, they use the desserts and, you know, what do they call it? What do they call the cooking when the charcoal is pushed to the side? And indirect heat.
Oh, that's like the grill that I bought, the charcoal and going around the outer edge.
Well, yeah, so that's what they do with the big Webers.
Okay.
They fix the charcoal so that it's only on the edges so they can literally bake because they can get the thing up to 600 degrees.
Yeah, you can get it up high.
Yeah, so they she said, y'all say it like that, come pick me up. I have the water.
Hey, but see, when me and my guys don't go out, it's crazy because we'll go out and only one person picks the bill up.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let me know when y'all going.
Ain't it wonderful?
Let me go.
That's because it's always the same crew.
Oh.
So
y'all don't get
nobody say, well, how much is yours? No. Hey, I got it.
Anybody
that's
got
just
no
how
guess?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Right. Y'all ain't got the groom for 2 more, but we could just, you know, it ain't our turn. And then we ain't gotta come back no more. Look. Be like, we'll get y'all next time. No, we ain't like that.
We ain't like that.
No, we eat. We eat good.
And we eat.
Yes, sir.
And we eat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Real eat.
Anyway, look, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into our conversation for today. Where'd it go? Four signs. You resisting the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. 4 signs you're resisting the Holy Spirit. That's our topic of conversation, y'all. Look, we're going to be right back a few moments. Go get you some water. Go use the bathroom. Go take a tinkle, whatever you got to do. If you got to do the other thing, you're going to miss something.
Take your phone.
That's nasty. But go ahead, dude. You got
to take your phone.
That's nasty, right? Take your phone. Wipe it down.
Just wash your hands.
Right.
Put the phone on the outside.
Put the phone on the sink and put it on speaker.
You just need to hear.
Right, you need to hear. You don't need to see nothing. Right, you know, you already know what we look like. Anyway, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. We be right back. I'm going to give them a little bit of this right here. Yep, right here. Be right back, y'all. TTL Radio. Hardy, Anasia Tyson. Look, we are back, y'all. We got this good conversation we're going to have on tonight, simply entitled Four Signs You're Resisting the Holy. Well, the article says Holy Spirit, but you know we lack the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
There we go.
There we go. I'm like, where you at, man? He left. He outside. Before,
him upstairs.
Fourth sign is open. Yeah, four signs you're resisting the Holy Ghost. That's our topic of conversation for tonight. We're going to jump in that. The writer of the article is Shara Donahue. Shara Donahue. She's the co-author of the Bible study one, the co-author of the Bible study, First, Second, and Third John, Experiencing Transformation. And she's working on her next book. She enjoys serving as a biblical counselor, speaking to women and savoring coffee when her four kids are playing with the father. She holds a master's degree in education from Corbin University, is passionate about seeing people set free through God's truths, and is the founder and editor of Anchored Voices. She's also the host of the podcast, The Bible Never Said That, which you can listen to on lifeaudio.com. Get in touch with her on Facebook or Twitter. So that is the right. I know I like to let y'all know who we get out, who we sharing our stuff from. So let's jump into this thing. Where'd it go, though? Because hold on, let me do something different here. Because you got to get to... We're going to get to the good part. Get down to the good part. All right. I got to get to, where is this thing at? All right. Let me click on this again and see if I can get the first page of the article back up.
That's it.
Because I couldn't get to it. All right.
No, it was up there. You X'd it out because you was looking at the shoes.
Oh. Yeah, but it's right there. Okay, the actual beginning part.
Right.
All right. The writer said this: when my children choose to resist my prompting, leading, and guidance, they know they can always return to my arms and be accepted with grace. She goes on to say, I try to be a compassionate mother full of grace and truth, but you better believe that when the situation calls for it, I ask my children the question, if you had obeyed me, would that have happened? I know, she says. I told you so. Doesn't seem like expert-level parenting. Yet when they choose to move in opposite to the clear directions, move in opposition to the clear directions I have given, only to find themselves suddenly overwhelmed with the consequences of their choices, I believe it is more important for them to reflect on how they arrived there. I have been gently reminded of the importance of reflection on how I came into messy situations myself, and I have learned some of my greatest lessons there. She says, I'll be honest, there have been many times where the Spirit of God has warned me to listen and obey, and I simply ignored, resisted, or flat out said, I don't want them. By God's grace, I lived to see the consequences. So here we go. Why do we resist God's Spirit? You ready?
Yep.
Go ahead.
The first one says, too often we ignore the power of the Spirit given to us through Christ. Remember.
Hold on one second here. Why are you looking like that? And it ain't the first one. Why do we resist God's Spirit? Or are you looking at something else? Oh, no, that ain't the first one. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Al. That's a whole other section. I guess I should have kept reading. I should have kept reading because that's a whole other section. Moving too fast over here. Hold on. Read more. So it says, why do we resist God's Spirit? I'll do that and then get to the next one.
Yeah, now it just popped up out of nowhere.
No, that's right.
No, this ain't what it said. This ain't the one I had the first time.
Yeah, but this ain't the first point.
Okay.
Yeah, let me finish this up. Too often the writer says we ignore the power of the Spirit given to us through Christ. Remember, this is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
We do not lack a guide for the parts of life that leave us lost. Isaiah 11:2 says it describes the Spirit that rested on Jesus, the Spirit also given to us. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. She goes on to say, when we have such wisdom and understanding available to us, such power and might, why do we resist leading of the Spirit? Most of the time, it is because our flesh sings sinister lullabies in attempts to lull us from the promptings of the Spirit. It mutters lies that we are missing out and being foolish in our obedience to God. And we begin to allow our thoughts to return to the ways of man and away from a holy God. The quest for instant gratification is one of our flesh is one our flesh takes on daily, and it seeks to bring us along as its faithful companion. The good news is that we can instead choose to walk by the Spirit. because through the flesh, though the flesh is deceptive and persistent, the spirit will be forever be more powerful. The flesh will one day find its end, but the spirit is eternal. Each day, we must look for the ways we resist the promptings of the everlasting Holy Spirit, because rarely are we in a place of perfect obedience. Do take note that the following signs of resisting the spirit can be brought on by other things, biological, sleep disturbance, environmental, or loss. But these can be strong indicators that we should examine ourselves and let our hearts be searched for resistance to the spirit. Now, here we go. Four signs you're resisting the Holy Spirit. Number one.
Number one is called burnout.
Lord.
If we push past the boundaries that God has given us the strength to live in, we will find an end to our capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Things we love will hold no pleasure. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What was once done with ease will feel like a chore. And soon burnout will meet us at our doorstep. We may have hopes and dreams, but we should never deem ourselves to know better how to achieve them than God. We ask for his leading, and we listen to his voice, or else our dreams and ministry can quickly turn into idols that will ask that we sacrifice the riches of what God has called us to in service of
mm-hmm.
Our own slaughter.
Right.
Let me read that again.
Go ahead. I saw what happened. Go ahead. Take your time.
We ask for his leading,
mm-hmm.
and we listen for his voice,
mm-hmm.
or else our dreams and ministry can quickly turn into idols that will ask that we sacrifice the riches of what God has called us to in service of our own slaughter.
Mm.
Okay, now it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if we chase after acclaim,
mm-hmm.
power, or love that God has not given the grace or favor for,
mm-hmm.
we will only wear our own spirit down to the point that there will be nothing left.
Mm.
It says, when we ignore the spirit's direction, we will find a charred path behind us.
Mm.
It says, and ultimately find ourselves exhausted in the ashes of what once was a life devoted to God.
Wow.
And now I get all of it because
burnout.
Yeah, burnt out.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because that's how I've been feeling as of late.
Mm. What'd you say?
I can't stare at you right now. Oh, okay. I thought you said.
She said she could tell.
Yeah, I did about the last.
Stop talking off that mic, though. Go ahead.
About the last, I want to say maybe about the last 2-3 months.
Mm.
I just been like.
I get it. I get
and
it.
When people say that you don't get burnt out in ministry, that's a lie.
I get it. I
even if you love to do it.
It don't matter if you love to do it. You and it's easy to, so when she says things we loved will hold no pleasure.
Exactly.
What was once done with ease will feel like a chore, and soon burnout will meet us at our doorstep.
That's where I'm at right now.
I know for me I had the most difficult time, and I guess I share it here, the most difficult time getting that sermon together for yesterday.
And I watched the beginning of it.
Bruh, I promise you. You asked me Friday, was I good?
You said, what'd you say? I asked.
Yeah. Cause she was like, send me, you know, because I send her the stuff so she can have it for the screen. And,
uh-huh.
You know. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm working. I'm good. You know, I wasn't like
right
tripping. And I think it was Thursday because it was during Thanksgiving. That's what it was, Thursday. She asked me, and I was like, yeah. And then sometime between Friday night
and Sunday morning
and Saturday morning,
okay,
everything I had wasn't working. Just done. 5.5 pages, just done. Like, this ain't going to work.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there like, okay. All right. You know, normally it's like just go back and change some stuff,
right.
Nah.
Like, and every preacher know they go back and change the day of, the day before, and
yeah,
all that.
But this wasn't that. It was ain't none of this finna work. You ain't finna use this on Sunday.
Wow. What you say what?
I said that man said he going to sleep.
He said, you got the stuff? I said, I'm going to bed.
Hey, I've been there.
I said, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Because I felt myself getting frustrated.
Yeah.
Right? And so then I'm staring
at the paper.
At a blank screen.
Yeah.
I'm on a Word document. Blank. Just blank. Just
yeah.
ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Struggling. So it's like I'm sitting here trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, Lord, we're like, all right, now, you know, we got it. And I'm sitting here, like, because in my brain, I knew what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about Thanksgiving. I had this whole, let me tell you, I share with y'all what my almost title was.
Yeah, almost.
You know, because I'll never really, because title, I'd be struggling with title.
Right.
My almost title was The Value of Leftovers.
That's a good title.
I was in there. Yeah. I was ready.
That's a good title.
I was like, yeah, that sounds good, but you ain't preaching this Sunday.
Been there.
He said, that ain't going. He said, no, we ain't doing the catchy stuff this week. I said,
been
there. Well, dang, hold on, G. Can I? So I mean, literally, I was so Saturday. So normally, because I bowl on Saturday,
right?
I take the laptop. And I have been known to be sitting at the table at the bowling alley with
and typing. I was just going to say in between rows.
Go throw my ball, and come on back, and
right.
you know. I said I was going to bring the laptop. I said, no, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that. I ain't bring it. So we bowl. Captain got some food, right, on the way home. And then I ate my food, chilled out for a minute, grabbed the laptop.
And went back at it.
And was sitting there blank. And I think sometime around, he asked me again, like, how you called? You know, that's what it was. He was out somewhere. But she called me.
Do you got it?
I ain't got nothing. I think that's what I said, too. I have nothing. What did I say? I have nothing.
So you're doing your best, Whitney Houston?
I have nothing. I have nothing.
I got nothing.
So I went to bed. I said, you know, I'm just going to go to bed. So I set my alarm.
For first thing Sunday morning.
But,
been there
you know, so my normal alarm for Sunday morning is 7.
Okay.
Right? Because all I got to do is, you know, especially if I do all the shaving and stuff the night before, then it's 7. It's 7:30.
Okay.
You know? But I was like, no, I set the alarm for 6. I woke up before the alarm went off.
Okay.
Laid there for a few minutes, then got up, started typing.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden, here it comes. So I'm...
Now you can't stop typing.
No. So now I'm trying to get enough so I can send her something because they're like, she needs the scriptures. She needs the something and all this. I'm like, I don't know what time. I think I sent her scriptures at, what time you get, 10? 9:30 because I left to get here.
Okay.
I said, let me leave so I can get here.
Okay.
And I can. And then I came in, set up the room, and then I came back in here and started typing some more. I was done.
Sometimes it's like that.
But you get to this point where you just
feel like you burned out.
Like you just don't have nothing left. And I'm like, wow.
And what's crazy is over the last couple of weeks, I got like 4 series.
Wow.
So I've got the series I'm going to be teaching on is Who's Your Delilah?
Somebody just asked me, one of the members just asked me, how come nobody preach on Samson and Delilah?
And the series I'm doing for December is Don't Waste the Oil.
Mm.
Don't Waste the Oil.
I like that.
Yeah. So, and it's, all of a sudden I got a little bit of, it's like this fire. I don't know.
Okay.
So, I'm just trying to hold on to it and see how many come up out of it.
That's good,
That Don't Waste the Oil and Who's Your Delilah, those are two. A big series that I'm gonna be preaching next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But December is definitely gonna. December, I'm preaching on. Don't waste the oil. Don't waste the oil.
Okay. Let's keep it going, y'all. That was burnout was number one. Number two is anxiety. Oh Lord.
Yeah.
When we move away from the leadings of the Holy Spirit, anxiety will increase. Because if we are true followers of Jesus, our deepest desire is to be near him. When we begin to move outside of his plans, even when we're not conscious of it, we will sense that we are distancing ourselves from peace. Look at the rise of Fret and Peter when he denied Jesus in Matthew 26:70-75. Y'all know the scripture. I'm not sure which version this is, but it says, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, sounds the Message Bible. He said, then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.
You remember that one, right?
Mm-hmm. He denied it.
Yeah. The Bible says he denied him, and he and that part where it says, I don't know what you're talking about, is when he said, who, me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right, with an oath. He says, I don't know the man.
Exactly.
After a little while, those that went up to Peter said, surely you one of them.
Uh-huh.
Your accent gives you away. Then began to call down curses.
Yes, sir.
Peter started cussing.
He started cussing.
That's where the cussing deacon comes
from. And he swore.
And he swore. He said, I promise y'all I don't know that. I don't know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed.
How many times? Three.
Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Because it had hit him in his shando.
Yeah, the writer says, when we can see the nerves of Peter being ever tightened with each denial of Christ. His fight or flight impulse is on high as he insists on resisting the truth. We can see the panic beginning to control him until finally he remembered the words of Jesus, faces the truth, and tension breaks into tears. When we deny the spirit of Jesus, we deny Jesus himself. And this naturally causes us to experience more fear. And that fear will mount into a foreboding dread.
Mm.
Yeah, man, that's, yeesh, yeah.
And one thing I would say about not just ministry,
mm-hmm.
but in general, anxiety is starting to creep in at an alarming rate, just like depression.
Mm.
If you pay attention to the signs of anxiety, that's that thing that make you feel like when you see people talking about, well, I just got so much going on, and they don't even understand. It's the pressures.
Yeah.
And it's starting to set in. That's the anxiety setting itself in, and it's setting you up to fail in the long run.
Absolutely.
So...
Absolutely. I think part of it is, you know, when that's why the Bible tells us be anxious for nothing.
But I just used that scripture today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be anxious for nothing.
Yeah. Felicia says, you'll be amazed how rest will rejuvenate the mind.
Won't.
Absolutely. Then she says, I believe Peter inspired this song. What about your friend?
Yeah.
That's good. I like
what
that.
What about your friend?
I like that. You know what? Anxiety, you know, that scripture about being anxious for nothing.
Uh-huh.
As often as it's used,
uh-huh.
I don't think it's used enough.
It ain't. They just now starting to use depression.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Because I think we become anxious when we don't see progress the way we believe.
Exactly.
You know, I got to get it done today.
Exactly.
We need to have it set up yesterday.
Ah.
And now your anxiety affects other people.
Come on.
Right? So we end up putting that on them. Because I have no patience, I'm going to work yours.
And that's exactly what's going to happen.
Why you look up at me like that? But because I have no patience, I'm going to work your nerves.
Because uh-huh.
we all going to be in here nervous together.
Come on.
Shaking. Almost. Let's go. Number three.
A sense of dread.
Uh-oh.
This is a sign that we have moved past anxiety and now outright expect something bad is on the horizon.
Mm.
The disheartening thing is that when this sense of dread is present in our lives because we refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit, the dread itself, the dread is self-imposed.
Mm-hmm.
It says we might be experiencing it because we know we are walking outside of God's will for our lives.
Mm.
It says of this sense of dread could be a warning from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The last plea for us to change direction before we experience the consequences that will befall our disobedience.
Mm.
We cannot dare to treat Israelites treated Jeremiah and the prophets.
Mm.
And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again,
mm-hmm.
you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and of your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever.
Mm.
Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them.
Mm-hmm.
Do not arouse my anger.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, he said arouse.
He said it.
He said, do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. Uh-oh.
Mm. Mm.
Don't arouse my anger and I ain't going to harm you.
Mm.
But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord, and you have aroused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Jeremiah 25, 4 through 7. Yes, it could be just a lack of hope that brings fearful anticipation, but beware. Do not miss the repeated chances to listen before a disaster befalls you.
Mm-hmm.
This here is a good one because exactly what he's saying in the scripture from Jeremiah, the Lord said, turn away from following after other gods. Turn away from, you know, following all these other evil practices. Turn your face back to me. Put all that stuff aside. And not only can you stay in the land now, but you can stay in the land forever and ever. He's given you the promise, but because of disobedience, he removed the promise from us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit is the thing that steady stand. Hold on. Let me tap you on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Let me tap you on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You got to adhere to this. If you don't adhere to this, this is what happened. That's why I say a lot of times we could preach the gospel of prosperity all day.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't preaching hell, fire, and brimstone with mm-hmm. it, you
yeah.
ain't preaching nothing.
Come on.
Because you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, and that's just it. We don't, I mentioned yesterday, we used to, you know, I said yesterday, we, you know, 50 years ago, they used to sing about heaven all the time.
Come on.
And now they don't, because now everything is about right now.
Say that again.
Everything is about what we can get in the moment.
Right now.
Yeah, everything has to be about what we can get in the moment. I want to go back to one of Felicia's comment. She says, unfortunately, I had to move away young because my mom was always anxious. She believes if you stop moving, it causes depression. Not even. She says, not so, because even God rested.
Didn't he rest on the Sabbath?
He rested on the Sabbath. And watch this. Even Jesus got away from folk.
And went and rested.
Come on now.
Even when he went to pray.
Look, he slept at the bottom of the boat, didn't he?
In the travel.
Come on.
Let's say that again.
Come on now.
Let's not forget when they came to take him.
Come on now.
He had just came from resting.
Come on.
Because even when he went to pray, he said, y'all couldn't even pray for 1 hour.
Mm.
We have to understand rest,
mm-hmm.
like you hear people say, sleep is the cousin of death. What sleep does is it allows your mind
mm-hmm.
to leave the things of the world,
mm-hmm.
and it takes the strain and the stress off of your mental as well as your body.
Mm.
It puts us back in what we call a recharging station.
Absolutely.
And once we sleep, we recharge, and now we can do stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, when night come, no man can work. What do you do at night?
Work while it's yet day. Because when the night comes, yeah.
Okay then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's good. I like that. I like that. Let's go. Number four. Number four says depression.
That was that big word, the big D word.
Yeah, depression. The writer says this, maybe it isn't the fear that plagues us. But a deep sadness that slowly chips away at your will to even move towards God. This is the torment of depression. You may be able to identify what is wrong, but be convinced of the lie that you don't have the will to do anything about it.
Mm.
The great news is that even if you do not have the will to move, the spirit within you, The great news is that even if you do not have the will to move, the spirit within you, even if you've been resisting him, does. If you give full rein over to the Spirit, he will show you the way in which you should walk to once again find hope and life abundant. What a great hope. What great hope there is in the presence of our Savior. The psalmist rightly reminded themselves of this when they preached to their own souls. Look at this passage from Psalm 42, the sons of Korah, where it says, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praising among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For yet I will praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Here, the writer says, the psalmist, even during his feast of tears, finds a way to remember God. Come on now. A slight shift of the mind, a directing of the thinking patterns is all that happens here. But it is enough to move him from despair to hope. When we remember what God has said to us and begin to hope that we can repent and return to his will, we will begin to experience the supernatural energy that comes from obedience to the Spirit of God. Remember, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you, Romans 8:1.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of the Lord is a gift to us, Jesus himself said. But verily, truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you, John 16:7. It is a dire situation, the writer says, indeed, to be resisting the spirit. Not only will it most likely lead to destruction, but disobedience takes us captive and stunts our growth as people who bear the image of God. We fight for freedom when we choose to surrender to the Spirit, and the Spirit leads us towards ever-increasing glory in Christ Jesus. Man, let me tell you this right here. That doggone depression.
That's a real thing.
It is.
And it's deep.
There's another article I was going to do. It's really short, which is why we didn't do it tonight. It talks about depression.
Okay.
And I don't think there is a I said I was going to reach out to Pastor Lance Ellis and those guys again about doing a follow-up for the – I sat on a panel with them about three years ago, 19, 18, I would say. Maybe it was 18.
Okay.
Called Preachers and Suicide. And,
wow.
Yeah, and we sat down. It was myself. That's how I met – that's how we met Dr. Thomas. Dr. Thomas was there. Zachary came and did. He spoke. And then Lance Ellis and I'm trying to remember my other guy's name. But we were all there, man. And that thing was – it talked about the competition, the anxiety from trying to build a ministry, from stepping out on your own, for being the only supporter, the main supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of – everything is on your back or your family's back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that you know people are waiting on you to fail. Yeah. Yeah. That's the one. The one that you know that people are anticipating the post where if it ain't from you, from somebody else saying it failed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot to carry.
Ain't it a lot?
That's a lot to carry. And then to have no way, nowhere to release it. And that's how you find yourself in bad and horrible situations, because you're looking for an outlet
and you don't have it.
Because see what happens is, and then if you're too closed in, if you got somebody at home, you might feel like you can't say nothing.
That's the other part,
right?
And I ain't got nobody.
Right. Exactly. So when you, so that even takes it a whole other level.
Exactly.
Right. So when you feel like I can't, you know, I don't want to appear to be a failure. So I'm going to hold this in, right? And so then you start looking for outlets. It's either in food, drinks, other people.
Yeah.
You start looking for outlets to get this stuff out. And unfortunately, because you don't deal with it the right way, you start creating other problems.
Along the way.
Come on now. Instead of you finding the right kind of outlet.
Exactly.
And I'm talking about more than prayer. Felicia says depression is rage turned inward. Wow.
Wow.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. That's rich.
Wow.
That's heavy. That's real heavy. That's thick. that's like grits that need some more milk and water.
Thick. Man.
You know, you put too many grits in there. And you,
I like my oatmeal lumpy.
Come on.
That's ludicrous.
But, yeah, man, that's, I don't know. I think about, and this is why it's so important to have that conversation, especially with pastors. to be honest about that situation, especially what was that, a few years back when we had that it was a bunch of preachers.
The wave of suicide.
It was a wave of pastor suicide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I keep thinking about that one. The one that got me so bad was there was a pastor. I wish I could go back and find it. He was teaching on depression, and nobody knew he was depressed, and nobody saw it. And then, but he was teaching on it for like a month, and then went home and killed himself.
They did know it. They just didn't pay attention to it.
They missed the sign.
He was saying, he was preaching
this is me.
Himself.
Yeah.
People don't even realize the messages you preaching are about you.
Bruh, they don't get it.
They think you preaching to them. No, you preaching to yourself.
Look here. She said, who puts milk and grits? A whole nother show. So you don't understand, Felicia.
Yeah,
that's
you
conversation.
Got to have milk
you don't
and grits.
Understand.
It's a whole nother game.
It changes the game. But anyway, and then the other brother, who drove his family to church, came home and shot himself in the driveway.
Yeah, I remember that one.
He took his family to church,
right.
Dropped them off, said, I got to go back to the house, and pulled up in the driveway and ended it.
It's sad.
What's the other preacher's name, the one that Paula White stole his church? Tim's.
He
committed suicide.
She wouldn't have got all his members.
Yeah, took the church over.
Yeah, the folk.
Yeah.
Got to watch them too. They snakes.
But again, people constantly talking about it and nobody paying attention to the sign. We just amening and shouting. Hallelujah.
And not understanding that. That's why when I preached yesterday about the talent, I say if your job, the talent that God gave you was to be an intercessory prayer warrior.
We just talked about this yesterday.
You need to be praying.
Yeah.
Even when the message is going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, she says Will Smith. Yeah. Yeah, I think Will Smith was talking about something about depression.
I seen that the thing at the seminar he
was
at.
Yeah, he cried.
And he was crying.
Yeah. Felicia says, everyone, we need to ask folks how they're doing and wait for. And that's the thing. I love when I see those posts on Facebook, the one that says, have you checked on your strong friends lately?
Because the strong ones is the ones
we
going through the most.
We don't get asked.
Yeah.
We don't get asked.
But everybody expects us to be there for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You rarely get asked, are you good? You rarely. And I tell Dr. Thomas all the time, thank you. Because that night I was going through, she was watching the show, and she texted me. She said, you ain't good.
You said that.
She texted me, and then Tanya was like, log off.
Yeah,
like,
right now.
Just go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, man, look at it. And you don't realize, because you just got to go through.
I'm going through the motions.
Because what happens is, places like this, or the pulpit,
right,
or your job, they become what you believe to be your safe place.
Because this is where you're comfortable.
This is right. This is the only place where you feel like you're comfortable. But here is the deal. If I get shot on the street, coming here ain't going to save me.
I wish
somebody would hear that.
At all.
But I'm going to come here because this is what I know.
Exactly.
And this is what I can control.
And it's all about control the controllable.
Controlling the controllable.
Exactly.
Instead of saying, you know what? If I go in here again, I'm bleeding to death. This is not where I need to be. Because this will be here.
No matter what.
After the fact. And if I'm gone, then what?
Nothing.
So it takes people around you to be constantly paying attention to where you are. And I know Felicia, I talked about this last week. Felicia was like, she remembered that show. She said that to me last week. But you got to have some people that know your spirit.
Exactly.
To know that something ain't right.
Well, I mean, last week I told you when I taught on time.
Yeah.
That I went into this thing about I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it was depression because it's not depression.
Mm-hmm.
I can say it was more so anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because you get to a point
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
you're just tired. Yeah. And like, okay, you asking God, what am I doing this for? What does it matter?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm to the point where I'm just tired.
Mm-hmm.
And some people took it wrong. Well, what pastor talking like that? What do you mean?
Mm.
If you know your pastor, evidently you see something is different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody see the smile.
Mm.
Everybody see, you know what I'm saying, how I dress. They see all of the.
Yeah, they see the outside.
But they don't understand all the stuff that's going on the inside.
And when you're the strong person, you're careful not to be, not because you don't want to expose the weakness.
And you never want to appear weak.
You never want to appear weak. Felicia says people at the church house have to be aware because you can save someone's life by just acknowledging or hugging them. Yeah. And that's the really, I said this yesterday, thing I hate about this pandemic is that it has stopped us from doing the altar call.
And I'm not even lying. Before I started this series, mm-hmm. it was on my heart to not have service.
Wow. Wow.
And just
move
everything out the way.
Yeah.
Move all the chairs out the way.
And just have prayer service.
And just everybody come down. All we're going to do is pray.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I get it. I totally get it. I think sometimes we don't know how. When you've been the person when part of your character is to always work, it's hard not to work.
Because you feel like you didn't complete something.
Yeah. And it's like, and then if something doesn't go well, part of your character says, I need to work until I figure it out. Instead of saying, no, I need to rest
until I figure it out.
And look at it again.
Exactly.
I need to come back to it.
And do it all over.
But we get caught up. We get caught up in having to. It's kind of like that. What's that new diet program that's on? That's an app.
Noom.
Have you seen?
Where
it says we've been programmed from kids to finish our plates. We've been programmed from children to finish our plates, meaning to complete the task. Because we all believe.
I just said this Friday.
Yeah.
Do you know why most black people are overweight?
Yeah, because we clean our plates.
Because when we were young, you don't get up till you eat everything on that plate.
And that came from a people who didn't have enough food. So, of course, you wasn't throwing. We don't throw no food away in my house.
Exactly.
We don't throw no food away.
And now we got abundance of food, and we just eat like we crazy.
Which is why you see people in France, their portions are so much smaller.
Yeah.
You go over there, you gonna get that little filet mignon.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, petite is what they call
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Or them places, the small places, the tapas bar, the tapas places.
What is that?
Tapas. There's a bunch of them all around.
So everywhere.
They specialize in the small plates. So you, but what it is you end up, so what you do is they want you to, you end up ordering, well, I'll take one of those, give me one of those, give me one of those.
So you order so much because it's small. So they're going to get you on the front and the back.
Brother, come on now. But it's that mentality of we got to finish. I got to finish.
That's a fact.
And that mentality of not, and we have to remember,
it's not a race.
It's not a race.
It's
or at least
marathon.
Not that kind of race.
It's a marathon.
It's not a sprint.
Exactly.
Yeah. What did Felicia say?
That's what I wanted you to read.
She says, absolutely, please pray for me during the holidays. My daughters are totally at odds with me. They are grown, but I'm letting go and letting God. I'm letting go and letting God. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, but I try to deal with it in silence. Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard one.
Ain't it?
And I thought about it, man. You know, I mentioned this yesterday briefly. You know, with Thanksgiving, it came and went. You don't know how people were feeling. Because you got people sitting at the table with empty chairs this year because people are not here from the previous year. Right.
And you got people that weren't able to make it to places as far as destination due to finances. You got just a lot you have to understand.
Think about
mentally.
The first year of the pandemic
when nobody couldn't
go nowhere.
Okay.
So people were forced to sit in your house. You know, now you had some that broke the rules and said, I'm going. Okay, that's fine. I'm not knocking
right.
on that. But some people say, you know, it's that anxiety of just being, I can't, you know, or whatever. Well, think about those people who, You know, and we don't think about it because it goes past us. But people who are stuck in the hospital before they will let you have visitors.
I said that on Sunday in the pulpit.
Yeah.
And I said, we got to pray for those that didn't have the visitors,
mm-hmm.
that needed somebody by their bedside.
Mm-hmm.
And all the ones that passed.
Elect lady, send her a private chat. Don't put your number all on us.
I be telling my mom about her. I keep, you know, I try to tell her about putting up personal.
You know, people is crazy.
Yeah. Inboxer, my inboxer.
Send her the inbox. Felicia, inbox her so she can inbox you. Go ahead. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to hide your, what you call it?
Yeah, hide
I'm going to hide your comment.
Yeah.
So that can't nobody see it.
That way they ain't got it.
You can see it. Wait, and yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah. So
yeah, only you can see it.
Right, and her. She right. can still see it. Right, but nobody else can
right.
see it. Yeah. So yeah, but I am, that thing, man, about what you just said on Sunday, man, is
yeah.
we got to look out for people.
You know what I believe in this season right now,
mm-hmm.
where God has us?
Mm.
I believe God has us in the season of knowing
mm-hmm.
and understanding.
Mm.
If you notice in this mm-hmm. last season that we're mm-hmm. leaving out of and the season that we're coming into,
mm-hmm.
the last season, he was revealing a lot of things.
Yeah.
So he's putting us in the know.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can't say you don't know.
Mm.
And then in this season, because mm-hmm. I let y'all know last season,
mm-hmm.
this season is getting an understanding. And all that getting, get an understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he let us know last season. He showed us the signs of this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
He showed us famine.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness and disease. Can I help somebody?
Come on, sir.
He showed us the time that Joseph was in when everything got scarce,
mm-hmm.
because just some of the stuff you're looking for is not there and you're trying to find it. Call and we face. Have to be cognizant. Come on.
Come on now.
We have to be cognizant
mm-hmm.
of knowing
like
the
that.
Know and understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We coming out of the know,
mm-hmm.
we got to get into the understanding.
And I think that's where it's, as much as I, you know, we don't put limits on God, but we need to put limits on ourselves.
Exactly.
We need to get out of that mentality. And that comes from bad teaching.
But
I think that comes from bad teaching because we
of so long ago,
we've been taught that as long as we got God, we can do anything.
But
and that's true.
But because the Bible talks about having a person
mm-hmm.
basically to be accountable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So we still need man, even though we got God.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
How can two walk together
unless they agree?
Oh, okay.
You got to have when you talk about. I like how the writer started this thing off when she talked about how her kids don't listen after she's given instruction. That was the very first part of the article. And then she said, just like the Holy Spirit warns us and gives us instruction, we just choose to ignore it.
That's exactly what it is.
Like we choose. And so when our bodies tell us, come on.
When
now.
It finally shut down.
No, when it tells us, when we see the warning signs.
Yes.
When you can't sleep.
Exactly.
When your appetite is screwed up, either you constantly eating or you can't
eat.
It's one or the other. You're constantly eating. You're constantly looking for something because there's this nervousness in you. And so you start filling it up with, and that's why I said earlier, you start filling it up with other things.
Amen.
Food, your time, wherever, you know, drink it. All of those things come in instead of you recognizing, acknowledging something is wrong.
Absolutely.
Something is wrong. What'd she say?
She said absolutely. Because the Kirk Franklin cuss out ain't working.
I know that's right.
And sometimes you just want to.
Yeah. 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 Mickey Ficky. Right. Mickey Ficky. But yeah, you got to have. And then this is why your circle.
You got to have the right.
So important.
The right circle. Everybody does not deserve to be in the close vicinity.
Come on now.
Of your closest and deepest thoughts and issues.
There is a difference between your friends and your associates and your circle.
Exactly.
Come on now. Because and watch this, no disrespect to the friends and no disrespect to the associates. But that circle, watch this. Your circle cannot be your cheerleading team.
That's the
I'm
difference.
Say that again.
That's the difference.
Your circle can't be your cheerleading squad.
Not them people.
And let me be honest. Let me clear some stuff up because they're male and female cheerleaders.
On both sides.
Come on now. Let's keep it out. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
They can't be your cheerleading squad. Your circle needs to be some level-headed, real-talking people to say, hey, hell, you need to chill out, bro.
Thank you.
Let me holler at you real quick.
Thank you.
Because this right here, this gonna mess you up down the line.
Come on.
This gonna come back to me. You need those people.
I got a few of them. And now, what's crazy is
you gotta have them.
Them the ones that don't come to church because they don't live
there. And
yet.
That's okay.
I know.
And that's okay.
Exactly.
That's okay because you want some people around you to say, you know what? I saw what you were doing today. Or I heard your message, and, you know, yeah, it was Bible, but it was your delivery.
Big facts.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when she was throwing shade a couple of weeks, last week or whatever it was, when she was like, she had to, when she was trying to get other, work with people or whatever, mm-hmm. they had to have a conversation about me, right, before they came. Or she wanted to, like, warn them off, or not warn them off to say, oh, no, it's not like that, or it ain't going to be like that,
uh-huh.
or whatever. And you know, you have to learn how to – I know in the professional world, they made us go to workshops.
Okay.
On how to be welcoming, right? How to be have that, quote-unquote, open door policy.
Yeah, because that's definitely major in the corporate world.
Right. So yeah. so be approachable.
Okay.
Right. Because
okay.
Everybody's not approachable.
A lot of people not approachable.
Right. And then people can and a lot of times it's not that you're not approachable. It's your demeanor.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, I ain't finna go say nothing to him. Now that works because it keeps a lot of the BS out the way.
And now that's me some of the time.
Come on now. And you want that. And
absolutely.
So but what we don't recognize is, yes, we have this field around us to keep the trash away. But unfortunately, sometimes we keep the opportunities away too. And we have to learn how to do what the Bible says, the wheat and the tare.
Yeah.
And let God separate. So sometimes you have to let people in. You ain't got to let them in and eat, but you need to at least let them in the
dough.
Let them choose as I'll take this line from our school from one of the lines that the people said at our school. Show me how to treat you.
Okay.
Show me how you want me to treat you. Your actions will show me how I should treat you.
Absolutely.
But I have to let you in to show me though.
Okay.
I got to at least get you in so I can see, right? So I can watch. Because if every time I see you, I do this. Oh, he's missing. I might miss out on, oh, wait a minute, I prejudge.
Right.
Or I prejudge based off of what they said. Because, see, they said sometimes can have you missed out on all kind of opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
Because I heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it looked like, and you look like you wanted to say something. No? You good?
You sure?
Because she looked like she was going to say something. She had that one say something face. Felicia says, I feel like people are going soft. They see you going through and won't say anything, even your spouse. Wow.
And you know what?
Wow.
You know what some of that comes down to?
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to people not wanting to have conflict.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think people, it's that people do want to avoid the
conflict.
Hard conversation.
Yeah.
They want to avoid because every, especially now, with all the turmoil in the world, this pandemic that just won't go away. There's another variant and blah blah blah. This I can't. Some start with an O. Yeah, some. It's like it's another. And now you know. Yeah, you. There you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, the new variant. The World Health Organization said severe.
Yeah, like the people now that's going to the hospital.
Omicron,
yeah. The people going to the hospital now that have not been vaccinated, they they coming in, put them right on, they coming in the dough, like barely breathing. Like, what is this mess? So, again, I'm going to get off into all that. But it's just that because of all of that stuff going on,
right.
It's like, you and fight with you because
we teetering on whether or not
the world's gonna come
here.
Exactly.
Are you gonna be here? Like I just argued with you.
You gonna be here next week?
Exactly.
Right.
Like you know you have to worry about like you know hey did you put your seatbelt on like you know did you make it home did you blah blah blah.
There's a lot of that.
And now a simple cold.
Yeah.
Can take you out.
Yeah.
Here.
Now.
So a lot of people. So I mean like you know. I was just thinking to myself, like, you know, I know what that last week you were praying for marriages and everything else
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a lot of people are, I don't know. They have distanced themselves from hurt.
Yeah.
They don't want to be hurt anymore.
Yeah.
That'd be me.
It's four stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everybody decided I'm going to grieve right now.
Mm-hmm.
I see so many marriages. I see so
dissolving.
Many separation.
Yeah, they're dissolving.
I see a lot of separation
mm-hmm.
and everything else. And I see a lot of people not knowing how to cope being by themselves
mm-hmm.
and everything else like that. Because you gave us this space and time for 22, now we're on 24 months. We're almost on 2 years.
We're almost 2 years.
Actually, if you want to be honest, we're there now.
January was the first sign.
It was December.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go. Because
like, people were coming in and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
So it's
Obama had already said.
I'm not going to say people feel hopeless, but they don't have that. One, we don't have the coping. We don't have the coping skills anymore. We barely had them at all,
mm-hmm.
and everything else like
mm-hmm.
that. So, I mean, like no one wants to argue anymore because we don't know.
I don't want my last conversation to be me cussing you out.
Right.
Yeah.
Or
you never know.
Because then you sit back and go, that argument was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the last, yeah, I saw
you
so I'm about to read it now. Samara says, people are living in a place that I got my own stuff going on. So without knowing, they may have the solution to your problem, even though they don't have the answer to their own.
That's the biggest statement. That's the truest statement right now.
But I was just telling my friend, I just listen now to people.
Mm.
I just listen because even
sometimes that's all they want.
Direct and everything, and I'll be looking like, don't do that. Oh, you done did it anyway, and everything. So I was like, I said, now I just tend to listen because you know if you was. Because usually when you want somebody, like, you know, tell me what you think. That's
mm-hmm.
when you asking for the advice.
The advice, exactly.
Like
but when you just
but
talking.
But, like, you know, when you get the phone call, girl, let me see. Oh,
it's just a vent.
You venting. So.
Mm. So you say, yeah, that's my husband's response. They grown. Get gone.
Wow. And I'm going to be honest with you. Because a lot of people, I have some stuff I've heard. People talking about, that's what's wrong with these. That's what's wrong with these parents now. Talking about the kids got to figure it out. They figured it out. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I tell people that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I don't see nothing wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the ones that had the help, that had all of this and all of this given to them and
mm-hmm.
all of their parents doing this, that, and the third, what do they do with it?
Mm-hmm. You gotta, I often wonder. Looking at the you know, like we talked about the little kid, 11-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, what school was he at?
Exactly.
Who are his people? Who are his surroundings? Who was telling him yes and no?
And that comes from parenting
mm-hmm.
from early age. I had that same discussion
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
My thing with that is, if you are a parent,
mm-hmm.
your job is to be a parent to the children,
not
to your child, and
not
their friend. You're not there to make their life comfortable. You're there to show them how to follow instructions. There has to be some kind of guideline that says, hey, this is wrong. This is right.
Mm-hmm.
When you do wrong, you get reprimanded for doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get do it right, you get praised for doing it right. But if you ain't reprimanding and praising and neither one of them and everything is even, who knows what's right and wrong?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite parts
yeah.
right there, too.
This is the when you said that it's harsh,
but it's reality.
But it's reality.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can play this.
Tanya, put that up. That's my piece there. Because I still watch this.
Struggled to build a life. Simple lesson about setting his expectations for affection.
I canceled the thing, so you can't get it.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay. Hold on.
Hey, y'all, you want to ask me? This is the wiki. It's one you got the questions for.
How come you ain't never liked me?
You. Who in the hell ever said, I got to like you? What law is there to say, I got to like you? Do you want to stand up in my face and ask me some damn fool-ass question like that? Talk about liking somebody. Come here, boy, I want to talk to you. Straighten up, goddammit. Ask your question.
Y'all have to excuse the language.
What law is there to say,
Denzel,
I got to like you?
None.
All right, then. Don't you eat every day? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you eat every day?
Yeah.
Nigga, as long as you live in my house.
Yes, sir.
You put a sir on the end of it when you talk to me. Yes, sir. You eat every day.
Yes, sir.
Got a roof over your head.
Yes, sir.
And clothes on your back.
Yes, sir.
Why do you think that is?
Because of you.
Hell, I know it's because of me. Why do you think that is?
Because you like me.
Like you. I go out of here every morning and bust my butt putting up with them crackers all day long because I like you. You is the biggest fool I ever saw. It is my job. It is my responsibility. You understand that? A man got to take care of his family. You live in my house. You sleep your behind on my bedclothes. You put my food in your belly because you are my son. You are my flesh and blood, not because I like you. It is my duty to take care of you. I owe a responsibility to you. Wait now. Let's get this straight right now. But go along any further. I ain't got to like you. Mr. Rand, don't give me my money come payday because he liked me. He give me because he owe me. Now, I didn't give you everything I had to give you. I gave you your life. Your mama and me worked it out between us. And liking your black ass was not a part of the bargain. And don't you try and go through life worried if somebody like you or not. You best make sure that they are doing right by you. You understand what I'm saying, boy? Get the hell out of my face and go on down to the A&P.
That right there.
Hey, it's still a classic.
The reason I played it was because if more of our parents got away from trying to be friends and make sure that their kids like them and being the fun parent.
Come on.
And being the fun parent.
Come on.
I think we would have less
of what we got right now.
What we got.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we would have. Yeah, Felicia, that was the original Fences play.
Yeah, that's the original.
That's the original. Don't get me wrong. I like the Oprah version that Denzel did.
Yeah.
But that's the original. I think that whole thing about being liked is part of the problem.
It's a misconception.
Because I want them to, yeah. And you know, he said it real plain. I don't have to like you. It's my responsibility.
It's my responsibility.
It's my responsibility.
There's
to
a
take
difference.
Care of you. There's a difference. Because watch this, because there's going to be some days I like you and some I don't.
But it doesn't change my responsibility.
Come on, sir. Come on, sir. It's going to be some days that I really can't stand. It's going to be some days I look and be like, oh, Lord, I should have.
But my responsibility.
I should have dropped your mama off.
Come on. Ooh.
Some days I wish, ooh, I shouldn't have had that last drink. I mean, that's the truth. But that does not take away.
Look at my mama.
She say, Pastor, who's the son?
My daddy.
Right.
That's the reason why I act. Yeah. I tell folk all the time. My dad, I don't care what nobody talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my dad didn't have a friendship until I was getting ready to graduate out of high school.
Wow.
We had a father and sonship.
Mm.
I understood the rules of his house.
Mm-hmm.
I understood no matter how he felt about me,
mm-hmm.
the lights, the gas, the mortgage, the stuff was done because
mm-hmm.
it was his responsibility to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have to like him, and he didn't have to like me.
Wow.
I had to respect him because he was my father.
Yeah.
And that's this new generation, mm-hmm. they don't have respect for their parents.
Yeah. And that's what it is. So I know we went all over the place with that one, but so you know, y'all, that's how we do. I ain't like, uh-huh.
But you know, we need to have some kind of segment, man, that really talks about, you know, homeship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And parenting skills.
Please say, let's be clear, mama gets blamed for everything no matter what.
Because mothers think from the standpoint of, that's my baby.
Absolutely.
And they forget the one part that I try to explain to any woman I'm talking to about kids and the relationship. A mother's job is still, if the father's not around, is to be a provider, not a friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there has to be what we – go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want you to finish.
There has to be some point where you don't try to be the friend. Lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the hard stuff and set the child up for knowing that one day I'm going to be gone. You got to know how to take care of you.
Yeah. And I think with parents, the reason you see them so frustrated and so mad is because I literally saw, I remember doing, and we're going to get out of here. I remember doing because it's time to do them now. Parent-teacher conferences are coming up. So,
yeah.
So I was a virtual still. So we're doing via Zoom.
Okay.
They ain't let nobody in the building.
In the building, okay.
And so they set up this meeting for this one student we had who was struggling in her classes. And so literally it was like all of the teachers were like going in on her. They were like, well, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't this, you that. So her mother... So she's got the laptop sitting on her lap, and her mother is over her shoulder. And so then she starts yelling at the daughter. Mm-hmm. And then literally she uses these words. She's like, all the stuff I do for you.
See what I'm saying?
All the stuff I do for you, you got. And she started naming every designer.
That's the problem.
Every this.
That's
every
the problem.
That. I do all of that for you, and you do this. And when you say that, you're equating, I do this for you and you're expecting this. No, you do this because you are obligated to. You're supposed to feed me whether I get an A or F.
That's true.
Now, you.
The name brand stuff.
Now,
though?
You going and buying me.
Come on.
Now that's your fault.
Come on.
Not mine.
Come on.
But the parent says, I do all this for you. I have set these expectations. But did you discuss that before you bought it?
And that's the problem.
Did you say, I'm buying you this Coach purse, fifth grader, seventh grader, but I'm expecting some A's and B's?
This
or
is that problem.
Or did you buy it because you want your daughter to look fabulous?
When they go to school.
When they go to school.
And they're a dummy.
A fabulous dummy.
Can't even write their name
but
good.
But they're fabulous.
And watch this. 90% of them now can't even write in cursive.
Oh, that's because school stopped teaching it, first of all.
And that's the problem. That even though the school stopped teaching it.
But the parents, think about it. Their parents didn't learn. I can guarantee you the parents of my students can't write in cursive.
That's a shame.
Because they're 23 and 24.
And they doing this type
and 20,
of stuff.
Right. So
who does that?
They print
still
everything.
Write everything in cursive.
Well, mine is cursive too, but don't tell nobody. So say something. Say something.
I still write
say
in
something.
Cursive.
Looking in the corner. Anyway, Felicia says, I'm not understanding. I was in my kid's life and they are disrespectful. My husband's son was out of his life for 10 years. He still respects him. I don't get it. You know what, Felicia? It's
being in the life and you see the disparity
mm-hmm.
of him being out of his son's life for 10 years. Do you know why he can be out of his son's life for 10 years?
Come on.
And he still respects him? Because he set the boundaries out the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's boundaries out the gate. Come on with it. Come on with it, mama. Turn your mic on.
Oh, wait.
No, my mic sounds nice.
My mic.
No. I'm gonna say it from this perspective. I saw it from my daughter's father. Every time his son would come to us and everything else like that, I call it the honeymoon phase. So I was the bad guy.
Uh-huh.
I became the bad guy because you honeymooned with your son because you ain't seen him You're not checking him for nothing that he's doing and everything else like that. So it ain't in terms of a male and a male, you know, because y'all scary. At the end of the day, it ain't like, you know, no one's going to say it's love. First of all, y'all scary. A man and a man, y'all scary and everything else like that. But it's that honeymoon phase that's going on and everything else like that. Like, I am the, what you could call the step-parent at this point and everything. And his son would be so disrespectful.
Because he didn't set the boundaries.
Even when they were set.
No, I'm talking about
they were still honeymooning and everything.
Shouldn't be that way.
And I saw the honeymoon make its way to Detroit, where, like, you know, I think I was playing with the son, and it ended up, like, you know, playing with the Nerf gun, hitting him and everything else like that. It's a Nerf gun, y'all, and everything. You know, this boy went into the house and told grandma and auntie, and it was still like, y'all still honeymooning with this boy because you guys don't see him enough.
I'll share this. I know we way past time. I'll share this. I remember when I first started a relationship with my son. Late, I shared the story with him way too many times.
Okay,
but he came to the house, and so Yolanda was there. That's ex-wife number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him start coming to the house like every other weekend or whatever. So he would come in and he would just lay his stuff down. And Yolanda was like, oh, we don't do that here. And he looked at me and I kept walking. I'm like, we don't do that here. And he looked and was like, okay, I'll put my shoes over here then, because that's where everybody else's shoes at. I'm going to hang my coat up over here because that's where the rest of the coats are. The coats go in the closet, because there's a closet right by the door when you mm-hmm. first walk in. I'm going to put my coat in the closet. Now, it was different at his house because you come in, you just throw your stuff wherever. But those boundaries were set. And because at the end of the day, kids need to recognize, I don't care if both of them are your parents.
Mm-hmm. Or both of them.
Or if one of them are not your parents. Who I'm with. I wish I had somebody help me. This is who I'm with. And so what you need to recognize is we are the team.
Say that one more time.
We are the team. And we had this conversation.
Ha.
We had to have it.
Ha.
With the crew.
Ha.
To get fresh crew. We had to have it.
Uh-huh.
Because it was like, you know, and I tease her all the time. I'm like, y'all think y'all slick because y'all punk, huh? I do. I tease them all the time. But I said, that's over with.
Man, look.
That's over with. Because, see, I catch stuff. And then I think now because she knows I catch it, she catches it. She hears it a lot quicker now than she probably used to hear.
Catching on.
Because even yesterday, we was at dinner. And we talking about something. And Taylor was like, she was like, shut up. I was like, you shut up. Right.
Hey, you got, hey, listen.
Because, you know, because I sat there like, hold on, let me see how this going to get handled. But I saw how it got handled. I ate my food.
Listen.
Because, see, we don't do that, and we don't do it enough.
Because everybody want to be their kid's friend.
Yeah.
I told my daughter, mm-hmm. I ain't your damn friend. My job, and this is before Fences came out,
Before you saw it, right, because that's old.
My job is to provide the shelter,
yeah.
Make sure you got some of your stomach,
yep.
And to keep the heat on.
Yeah.
I'm not here to kiki and ha-ha with you.
Yeah. Now, I can, but
a majority of the time, my job is the responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit around here. I'm not your bestie. I'm your daddy.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
And let me say this, because I know I got some parents probably listening and watching. I ain't saying you can't make a TikTok video with your kids.
No, we're not talking about having fun, but there has to be a respect.
I'm talking about knowing that in that process of having fun, what you're never going to do is disrespect me in any kind of way.
No shape, form, or fashion.
None.
You couldn't smack your lips. You couldn't roll your eyes. You couldn't stomp your feet. You couldn't huff and puff. Any of those resulted into a nice, good, quick, swift knockout.
But that's what's not happening anymore.
There ain't no knockout. Ain't no,
that's the problem
ain't no,
there.
Ain't no back of the hand in the car anymore because we just talked about this a month ago.
Throw the car in park.
In my family,
throw the car
that thing still exists.
And tell your transmission up. Throw the car.
What?
No brakes.
Because you finna turn around and go to work.
Because then we trying to figure out, okay, now what did I do to my child that they are stifled, that they don't say anything, and because it's been too many of these, bah, 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 and hush up, and, you know, stay in the child's place.
You see my
so
mama there, don't
you? So it's like, you know, parenting is a tough job.
A full-time tough
and
job.
It's ghetto. I'm going to write a Yelp review about parenting.
She said
it's ghetto.
Ghetto.
It's ghetto.
Yeah.
Wouldn't recommend it. One star.
She said one star.
Yes, because you're trying to raise an individual for somebody to happily marry and hopefully that they would like them enough to stay married to that person and to come together with different values and everything else like that. Because you hear about some of these houses, you're like, yo, raggedy over here and everything. So it's like I said, parenting is ghetto. And I'm like, you know, for Felicia, I kind of understand what she's going through and everything else like that. And I have this, I wanted to run to the car and get this reading, but I'll just send it to you. You're just going to have to just let this play out at the end of the day. Let it play out because you have lived your life and everything else like that. And you might have to give them the good old Claire Huxtable read and everything.
Want to have big fun with the wretched.
Yeah, I mean, she had to check. She had to check Denise. She had to check Vanessa. She didn't have to check Elvis.
All of them.
You got to check your kids. You know.
I tell people this all the time. If you allow a child to dictate to you in your relationship, you ain't got a relationship. Because when that child got they friend or whatever they got, you think they finna, man, look here.
And mind, be mindful of what you allow your kids to see. Because, and I know this can go way long, so let me try to wrap this up. But we gotta be mindful because if you have a boy child, let me do it this way.
Man child, because we know what Job said.
A man child. And that man child is disrespectful to his mother.
What you think he going to be to you?
What is he going to be to the girl that he gets? Because, see, because you know, people always say, do you talk to your mama with that mouth?
Exactly.
I sure do.
And that right there is the problem.
I've had kids say that to me. I said it to my mama, I don't care.
See, because she didn't put her foot down.
Or own him.
Because that's my whole point.
Yeah.
When I say put the foot down, I'm talking about, did you pull out your Sylvester Stallone package?
Yeah.
You pull out your Rocky kick.
I can tell you right now, and Joshua will tell you, me and Josh have a much better relationship now than we ever had.
Awesome.
And that's because it took him to do some learning on his own. I was going to be there.
No matter what.
But I told him. You know, I'm not coming to, you know, and she was with me. I told her, I said, you get one get out of jail free card from me.
That's how many?
One. And my one ain't going to cost me no money. I'll make a phone call to get you out. But you get the one.
That's it.
And I say, now, you better make it good. Because don't have me come for nothing stupid. And sure enough, what was it? Was it a Sunday?
It was a Sunday.
I got a phone call. He locked up over... He got into a fight with the baby mama's brother, and the baby mama's mama called the police and said he had a gun. And then the police, so he left,
and they looking for that gun.
He done left and walked, ain't got nothing, and they picked him up and took him and locked him up on that. And that's what they called me from. And they had him over there by the Mariano's over there on by Chinatown over there.
Yep.
Oh, the one right there off of Clark Street.
Yes, that's where he was at. I had to go over there and make some calls.
Whoa.
And it's like, well, he got to do this. He got to go. No, we ain't doing all that, sir. I went, let me make some calls. And then they let him out. But again, that's the that's where he had to learn some stuff, and then he had to keep going. It's like, you know, I'm gonna be here. Could you send me some money for the baby? Yep. And you know I ain't gonna, he's like, could you send me some this for the baby, need this? All right, here you go. You know, could you cash at me $20? Here you go, whatever. And that's literally, you know, and I had to, at one point I was like, can you say hi first?
Listen, I got one kid.
Can you say hi first?
One.
Mm-hmm.
A daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter do, and I raised my daughter good.
Mm-hmm.
She do what she want to do. She's rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Towards me.
Mm-hmm.
She will not disrespect
me.
Oh,
absolutely. They're going to do what they want to do. Right. Joshua ain't going to never disrespect me. You know, because
she know these here, they work. They work real well.
Oh, he found that out a long time ago.
Man, I got a Rocky package that worked.
Oh, no. He can tell you about running butt naked on the elliptical.
You know what, y'all?
Run some laps.
Anybody need prayer right now? Alicia, we got you there. Anybody else?
We go pray and get out of here. Come on, man. Pray us out of here so we can go home.
Father God, we thank you for this joining of today. Lord, we're asking you, God, to hear our prayers as we surrender ourselves to you. Lord, we go through so much down here in this world. We go through so much walking in this earth, God. Heal those now dealing with depression and anxiety. Heal those now, God, that are dealing with their own mental issues, their own things that are going on inside, from health issues to mental health issues to all kind of things that are happening internally that we don't see externally. Lord, we're praying today for those that need someone to just talk to, that need comfort, God. We're praying for those that just need to have joy back in their life, those that just need to be happy, God. God, today, let's deal with those things that are happening in our mental, Lord, so that we can return unto you and get the fullness of joy that we desire, Lord. God, I pray tonight for those that are sitting in the hospital that don't have somebody by the bedside that would just like to have a touch from someone, God. Let them have a touch from you, oh, tonight, God. God, I'm praying for the children who have seemed to be turned over to a reprobate mind. God, turn their hearts back unto you, God. Take the stones out of their hearts. Turn their minds back to you, Lord. God, you have your commandments written down. You have the things that you say which are just and those things which are not just,
yeah.
God. God, I'm praying today for the things that are not just to fall off of us today, God, that we can turn back to a just God to do those things which are just to you, Lord. God, for everyone that are suffering in silence, God, give them the heart of love, Lord. Let them know that you love them. Let them allow them to love themselves, God. Allow them to have joy and peace that they may prosper, God, in their hearts, prosper in their souls, God, prosper in their minds, God. Today I'm praying, God, to bring back the unity in black homes.
That's good.
Unity between father and son.
Yeah.
Unity between daughter and mother. God, bring back the unity between husband and wife. We have lost our sense of love, and we've replaced our love and character with the ways of the world.
My.
God, I ask today, wherever we have lack in our lives, if we lack love, if we lack respect, if we lack honor, if we lack character, if we lack our own mindset to listen to the Holy Spirit that resides in all of us, God, I pray today, restore those things which we lost in the fire.
Mm.
God, give us what you want us to have.
Mm.
Show us your way by the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Test us, God, daily. Try us, God, daily.
Mama.
That we may surrender ourselves to you. I pray that our prayers are answered in the name of Jesus. In his name do I pray. Let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Look, y'all, we had a great show. Yes, I know
awesome
it was long.
Show, yeah.
I know it was long, but we're going to be all right.
We're going to be all right.
In the words of, was that Lecrae? We're going to be all right? No, that wasn't Lecrae. Who was that? We're going to be all right.
It's going to be, that's Swiss Beats. It's going to be all
Swiss
right.
Beats?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, all right. Well, him too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're going to be a
Prophet Swiss.
But we're going to be all right, y'all. Look here. We're going to get out of here. Y'all have a great, great, great week. Hopefully we helped y'all out. Felicia, we're going to continue to pray for you. and keep you lifted up. Tanya gonna send you what she needs to send you. Come on, sir, get us out of here.
Listen here. When you're in the Chicagoland area, I don't care if you're North Side, West Side, East Side, South Side, Downtown, South Loop, West Loop, North Loop, wherever you are, just to stay out of danger and to make sure you make it to your place safely. Don't forget to keep your head on a swivel.
Hey y'all, we out of here. Two T's, one L, one O. We out of here.
Put your hands, lift it up, say, say it like this. Take the limit off.
Even the man whom y'all don't like, Donald Trump, notice how he interact with people he like. When he's with them, as narcissistic as he is, he'll shake their hand and pull them into his body. He pulls them in. Bill Clinton did the same thing. He pulled them in. Pull them in. Surround them with you. They become the most important person in the room. That's how you get them. Can that be deception? Yes. Especially in the political world, they want your vote. That is absolute deception. But that tactic also can be used when it's genuine. I pull you all in because I actually like y'all. I actually love y'all. If I didn't, I wouldn't read your comments. You understand? So I pull y'all in because I actually like y'all. We just got done talking about anxiety in the brow. See, Danny King, I should have been on the show. I don't understand why I ain't been invited back. I just don't understand. I don't understand. Jealousy comes from mixed emotions of fear and disgust. Truth Reigns talks about this on Monday nights. That's Pitts, by the way, for those of you. Did I give away my secret? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep, food inspection. You're welcome, Ruth. And people, they send me emails and text messages and inbox messages all week long throughout the day, and I answer at least 99% of them. Some I can't get to because I'm flooded with them, but I answer every email that I can get to, everyone. And it's not thank you. No, I go into detail. Why? Because everybody needs some kind of help. And the Lord has given me the ability to work from home so that I can take some time and just sit there for an hour and answer emails all day. At least for an hour, that is. This channel has been such an encouragement to me on all topics that you talk about. Wow, I'm able to chime in. See, Michelle, if I hadn't read that, we would not have known that. You see, and we all are helping one another. The five core. Here's the five core. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So Jesus felt anger. Can y'all tell me where in the scripture did Jesus feel anger? Was he angry? Can y'all tell me? Hey, Nichella, another one of our precious sisters here, beautiful pianist. an organist.
Mm-hmm.
Can y'all tell me where he felt anger? Patricia, another wise bunker person in the temple. Betty says, in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Pritchett, wonderful supporter of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, over 50 and fabulous. I love your name. Y'all see that powder hair? Y'all see the powder? I was talking about the powder hair yesterday. Ooh, man. Wisdom in that hair. There you go. Hey, you, Marlene. Blessings to you. In the temple. So he felt anger. Where else did he feel anger? Can y'all tell me? Not just in the temple. He was walking down the street, singing "Do I Did." Okay, and what happened? He was angry. Can y'all put it in the comment section? There were three places where he was angry. Dana, I don't know when you came in the show, but I talked about the healthy anger. The scriptures call it righteous what? Can y'all tell me? I'm 62, started here in my mind. What, in the 50s? All right. Oh, all right. Gotcha. Yeah, love it. I've been watching you for over, 4 years? Wow, Nell Allen. Wow, 4 years. That's amazing. Wow. The fig tree. There you go. Righteous indignation. There you go. He was angry and he whipped the money changers in the temple, number one. Number two, he cursed the fig tree. Number three, whenever he talked to the Pharisees, he was angry. He was angry. Nation of vipers. You are of your father, the devil. Anger. He felt grief. He rolled in town on the donkey.